The Bible says we'll be raised imperishable in glory and power. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 and 43. Here's what Paul says. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today, we continue in our series entitled Only a Heartbeat Away. It's all about the subject of death, heaven, and hell, as the Bible describes it, as Jesus describes it. So today, in part four, we take a closer look at our resurrection bodies. Now, we've all seen those battery commercials, Eveready's, I think, with the Energizer Bunny on TV. You know what I'm talking about? So the bunny, it keeps on going and going and going and going because of Energizer batteries, right? But of course, batteries don't last forever, do they? The energy begins to peter out, to deplete, and the bunny will get slower and slower until it stops altogether. So, you know, we find a metaphor here for the human body. When we were young, we felt as though we could keep on going and going and going. But as we age, however, things begin to just slow down little by little. And eventually, we stop altogether. That is, our bodies die. If you're in your 50s or 60s, as I am, you might think back to things you were able to do easily when you were a teenager. You know, hop a fence, jump down the stairs, or run uphill without getting too winded. Those were the days, right? So if I tried to jump down the stairs today, my wife would have to call 911 and, like, stat. Even if we eat well and take care of our bodies and exercise, they still become progressively weaker. And hey, it happens to all of us. The likelihood of developing illnesses also increases as we age. Think about it. Heart disease, high blood pressure, kidney problems, diabetes, and much more. I remember as both of my parents got older, things began to go wrong, you know, in their bodies. And when they reached, for my mom, late 80s, and my dad in his early 90s, well, it was time to go home and be with the Lord. Now, when we put everything into perspective, as Christians, one day, you and I will receive body upgrades. Yes, we'll receive body upgrades from the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, you and I will receive resurrection bodies that will never grow old, never deteriorate, never get sick, and never lack strength. Our energy will never wane. Health will never be absent. Our perfect resurrection bodies will know no limitations. There will only be eternal vitality, eternal life. Doctors and dentists will be out of a job in heaven. This wondrous body upgrade is what we're going to address in this podcast today. We begin with the recognition that Jesus Christ is the one who has made it all possible for us. Yeah, it's all because of Jesus. When it comes to our future resurrection from the dead, Jesus is on center stage. He is the reason you and I will one day receive body upgrades. Hallelujah. Now, recall that following the death of Lazarus, Jesus told Lazarus' sister, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And to prove he had the authority to make such promises, Jesus, boom, promptly raised Lazarus from the dead right then and there. I can almost picture Jesus then asking the crowd, "Any questions about my claim to be the resurrection and the life? Is my meaning clear?" Hallelujah. On another occasion, found in John chapter 6, Jesus affirmed, he said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Glory to God. Because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross on our behalf, and because of his resurrection, we too will be resurrected from the dead, just as he was. We can rest in the quiet assurance that even though our mortal bodies may pass away in death, turning to dust in the grave, they will be gloriously raised, never again to grow old and die. The weakness and frailty that we presently sense in our mortal bodies are, it's only a temporary condition. With our future body upgrades and, you know, such frailty will be forever a thing of the past. The Bible says we'll be raised imperishable in glory and power. Hallelujah. Man, I love the way the Apostle Paul describes our resurrection bodies, especially regarding how much better they will be than our present mortal bodies. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 42 and 43. Here's what Paul says. "What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." So Paul graphically contrasts our present earthly bodies and our future resurrection bodies. He said, "What is sown is perishable." That's a metaphor referring to the burial of a dead body. Just as one sows a seed into the ground, so the mortal body is sown in the sense that it is buried in the ground. When our bodies are placed in the grave, they decompose and turn to dust. But the exciting thing relates to what is raised out of the ground. The resurrection body, or our body upgrade. The Apostle Paul notes that our present bodies will perish. They succumb to disease and death. And as we live year to year, we constantly struggle to fight off dangerous infections. We do everything we can to stay healthy. We take vitamins, go to the doctor, try to eat right, exercise, live right, but nevertheless, we sometimes get sick. Worse yet, we all eventually die. It's just a matter of time, dear one. Our body upgrades, however, will be imperishable. That means that all liability to disease and death will be forever gone. Hallelujah. Never again will we have to worry about infections or passing away. Paul then affirms that our present mortal body is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Of course, we rightfully try to honor our loved ones when they die. We typically put them in a nice casket with nice clothes. The ceremony, you know, it's replete with nice flowers and loved ones and friends who share many kind comments and eulogies. This is as it should be. But still, the dead bodies are lowered into the ground and covered with dirt. Death, despite all our efforts to camouflage it, death is intrinsically dishonoring. I mean, after all, human beings were created to live forever with God, not to die, not to be buried in the ground. In contrast to such dishonor, our new bodies will be glorious. They will never again be subject to aging, decay, or death. Never again will our bodies be buried in the ground. Our bodies will have awesome strength, energy, and abilities. We'll never again have to sorrow and lament and say, "Oh, I'm too tired." No, we'll be able to walk, jump with vitality. Our health and strength will never deteriorate or wane. And finally, the Apostle Paul affirms that our present mortal bodies are characterized by weakness. And he seems to be speaking from experience here. Perhaps the older that he got, the more this truth was confirmed in his own life. From the moment we are born, dear one, the Apostle Paul said, our outer self is wasting away. So vitality decreases, illness sometimes comes, and old age follows with its wrinkles and decrepitude, if I can say that. Eventually, in old age, we may become utterly incapacitated. I hope not. I pray not. But sometimes people are incapacitated, not able to move around and do the simplest of tasks. And sadly, that's why nursing homes do such big business around the world. By contrast, our body upgrades will be just brimming and overflowing with power, with the glory of God. And we will never have to sleep in order to recoup energy. Never again will we get tired or become weak or become incapacitated. So all in all, words, mere words, seem so inadequate to describe this incredible difference between our present frail bodies and our future resurrection bodies. Think about it. There will be no more cholesterol buildup. No more heart disease, no more kidney disease, no more kidney stones, Lord. No more diabetes, no more blindness or deafness, no more aging of skin with wrinkles. We will enjoy perpetual youth with a fullness of vitality and energy. And it's all because of the glory of God within us. Hallelujah. The Bible affirms that our resurrection bodies will be just like the resurrection body of Jesus. Think about that. The Apostle Paul said that Christ will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. That's Philippians 3:21. John likewise said this in 1 John 3:2. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. This means that we will not be ethereal spirits just floating around in heavenly twilight zone for eternity. No, rather, we will be physically resurrected, just as Jesus was, and we will live in a physical body. How do we know that Jesus was resurrected? The New Testament provides heavy evidence undisputable evidence. First, Jesus' physical body was missing from the tomb. And then Jesus' resurrection body was... It retained... Think about this. His resurrection body retained crucifixion scars. The resurrected Jesus affirmed that he was not a spirit, but rather had real flesh and bones. Notice, not blood, because he had spilled his blood for us. He said he had flesh and bones, and he was filled with the glory of God. Think about this. Jesus ate food in his resurrection body, thus providing the physicality of the resurrection. It proved it. The resurrected Jesus was physically touched by other people. And finally, the word body, from the Greek in the New Testament, the word body, used to describe the resurrection body in 1 Corinthians 15:44, always means a physical body. It always means a physical body in the New Testament when used of individual human beings. Since our resurrection bodies will be like Jesus' resurrection body, dear one, we conclude that we will be physically resurrected one day. If this is true. However, what are we to make of 1 Corinthians 15:50, which states, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What about that verse? At first glance, it might seem that this verse is arguing against the physicality of our resurrection bodies. But that's not the case here, no. The phrase flesh and blood is a Jewish idiom that refers to mortal, perishable humanity. Mortal human beings, excuse me, in their present perishable bodies, cannot inherit heaven. Mortal humanity must be made immortal humanity in order to survive in heaven. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15:53, where it asserts that this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, put another way, the resurrection body will be endowed with special qualities that will enable it to adapt perfectly to life in God's presence. Hallelujah. So we're going to close out here in a moment, but let me say this. As we have seen that the Apostle Paul compares our present earthly bodies to tents and our permanent resurrection bodies to buildings, excuse me, Paul was speaking in terms his listeners would have understood. The Jews of Paul's day knew that the temporary tabernacle of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness was a giant tent-like structure. They also knew that it was eventually replaced with a permanent building, a stone temple, when Israel entered the Promised Land. So Paul uses this contrast between the temporary tabernacle and the stone tabernacle to represent the great contrast between our present bodies and our future resurrection bodies. The temporary tent, or body, in which believers now dwell, will one day be replaced with an eternal, immortal, imperishable body. Hallelujah. So when you think about it, we are constantly reminded in life that our temporal tents, or mortal bodies, the tent of our body is wearing out. Every time we look in the bathroom mirror, especially under a fluorescent lamp, we discover new signs of aging, don't we? And such reminders ought to direct our attention to the things of heaven, including our future body upgrades. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day of resurrection, that is, the day of the rapture, is yet in the future. And until that day, our spirits depart the physical body and go to heaven at the moment of death. At that moment, boom, we slip out of our body and we are in the presence of the Lord. This sometimes can give people a sense of being unclothed for a short time. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:4. He said, "While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life." So for Paul, being unclothed, that is, being without a physical body as a result of death, is a state of incompletion. For him, it carries a sense of nakedness, I guess. Even though departing to be with Christ in a disembodied state is far better than life on earth. Now, Paul's true yearning, his hope, was to be clothed with a physically resurrected body. And that yearning will be fully satisfied on a future date, that date of resurrection at the rapture. So Paul himself was apparently hoping to take part in the rapture of the church, escaping being unclothed for a time. Meanwhile, Paul said that you and I groan. Why so? Because our bodies are burdened. They're burdened by sin, sickness, sorrow, and death. Our present bodies are so frail that we earnestly desire to have body upgrades that are free from suffering. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, Paul affirmed that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what is to come in the afterlife. The word guarantee, often translated deposit, was used among the Greeks to refer to a pledge that guaranteed final possession of an item. It was sometimes used of an engagement ring, which guarantees that the marriage would take place. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives guarantees our eventual, total transformation and glorification into the likeness of Christ's glorified, resurrected body. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit in us is a pledge of what is to come. So that's good news, amen? This helps us to maintain an eternal perspective. It's true that our present bodies are wearing down and wearing out. They've been infected by fatal disease of sin. One day they'll simply cease functioning and just fall down like a flimsy, empty tent. By contrast, our resurrection bodies in heaven will never again wear down, never again get sick, never again die. They will be as solid and sturdy as a building. Hallelujah! I'm preaching me happy. I don't know about you. Listen, all this ultimately means that on that future day, God will defeat death once and for all. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. He said, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Even people of God can lament the seeming shortness of this earthly life. It's true. If this short life were all that we had to look forward to, we would have good reason to lament. As the Apostle Paul put it so well, he said, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, We are, of all people, most to be pitied. But the good news is, Paul goes on to say that our hope in Jesus extends far beyond the grave into eternal life. Just as Jesus was physically resurrected from the dead, so shall you and I be. Hallelujah. Paul said that Jesus' resurrection was the first of many to come. He said Christ has been raised up from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is the first fruits in the sense that he was the first to be resurrected in his permanent resurrection body, his glorified body. The harvest, that is, the resurrection of you, me, and all other Christians, is still yet to come. In fact, all, and I mean all, who put their trust in Jesus Christ will be part of that great harvest of resurrections from the dead. Wow! I can't wait. Praise God, I can't wait. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, Abba Father, thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus Christ into this world to die for us. Through his sacrifice, we are enabled and privileged to live and fellowship with you forever and forever. We are especially grateful that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, and that we too will one day receive glorious resurrection bodies that will never grow old, never get sick or die. We are also thankful that you have given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what is yet to come for us. Oh, Father, you are an awesome God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray and give you praise, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I pray you were blessed by this. It was a rather lengthy teaching, but I ask you to come back to it again and again and open your Bible. Don't just believe me because I said it. Follow through. Track through the Bible. Check up on the scriptures that I've given you. And let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about our great and precious hope, our blessed hope, Jesus Christ and his return for us. Thank you so much for listening. Go to our website, if you would, and check out all that our ministry has to offer. We travel the U.S. and preach and teach the Word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we've seen God do amazing things in our services. So pastors, go to the testimonials page on our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and pray about inviting us to come and to minister in your church and in your community. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord always have a smiling countenance toward you, and may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.